Around 1,400 people a year here in Northern Ireland suffer heart attacks before they get to the hospital. Now, I've just been having a chat here in the studio with Stephanie Leckie from the British Heart Foundation and Dr. Peter O'Hare from HeartSign Technologies. And actually, it's not a heart attack, it's cardiac arrest. But to me, I don't know what the difference is. So I'm glad the two of you are here to explain it. Stephanie, very sad statistics though, that less than 1 in 10 of those people who suffer cardiac arrest before they ever get to a hospital don't survive. Just less than 1 in 10.
Yeah. So if we're looking at the statistics for Northern Ireland, about 140 people have survived the night of hospital cardiac arrest, and the rest of those families have all lost somebody needlessly.
Now, what's the difference in a cardiac arrest and a heart attack? Because I thought they were the same thing.
Most people do think they're the same thing. To put it, I suppose, very basically, a heart attack is a clot which is in the coronary artery of the heart and can cause someone to have pain in their chest, pain down their arm, into their neck. They look very pasty, they'll be very sweaty, and it's like a cold sweat. So they would be complaining of either all or some of those symptoms. So they're awake and they're able to tell you that. A cardiac arrest is when their heart completely stops beating, or it is in an irregular rhythm.
It makes complete sense whenever you hear it.
And they are collapsed and not breathing on the ground. So that's the difference physically, if you were to look what the difference is.
I'm just amazed, though, by the figure. 66% of us, two-thirds of us living in Northern Ireland, wouldn't have a clue what to do if somebody went into cardiac arrest.
It's quite concerning that is the statistic, because if we lived in Norway, we would have a 1 in 4 chance of surviving an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest. And that's for the simple reason that they have a CPR program in their schools, which is mandatory. So every child will leave school with that life skill.
And you're just coming from a school this morning. Give them a shout-out.
Hello to Regent House School, who did brilliantly this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. So some lifesavers, potential lifesavers.
Hopefully.
It's something Gary and myself were talking about on the breakfast show earlier, and he was saying he learned how to do it when he was about 17. But, you know, that you hope that you're never going to have to use it. Mm-hmm. But do you think those skills stay with you, or do you need to go for a refresher course, or would that instinct kick in? Because I know I did first aid as well, and I'd be thinking, am I doing it right, or could I do more damage?
I think ideally, in an ideal world, you would want to be having an update once a year or once every couple of years. But it is a bit like riding a bike, where once you've done it, you would have the skills to then do it again, hopefully. And I think the key message is that you can't make the person any worse. If they're lying on the ground not breathing, they are dead. So you can't make them any worse than dead.
Now, it's European Restart a Heart Day. That's why we have you both in the studio here. And Dr. Peter O'Hare from HeartSign Technologies. When a defibrillator is combined with CPR, the survival rate increases to 70%. Unfortunately, over 80% of SCA take place out of the healthcare setting. So it's vital that people are aware what exactly mobile defibrillators are for. Now, we had the Henderson Group in here, Spar and Eurospar, and they're fundraising to put defibs outside their stores, about 30 stores across Northern Ireland. I think it's absolutely brilliant. And the first ever defibrillator was invented here in Northern Ireland?
That's right. The first out-of-hospital defibrillator was invented here in Northern Ireland. It was originally a concept devised by Dr. Frank Pantridge at the Royal Victoria Hospital around the mid-60s. And he realised that when someone does have a cardiac arrest, time is of the essence. And really, for every minute that passes after someone has a sudden cardiac arrest, there's a 10% decrease in chance of survival. So if you haven't got any CPR, and if you haven't got a defibrillation, which is actually needed to restart the heart. So it's also worth pointing out, if someone does have a sudden cardiac arrest, absolutely CPR is one of the most important components. But in order to actually start the heart again, they need a therapeutic shock of energy. And that's what a defibrillator does. And he realized that. And he set about making the first out of hospital defibrillator. It was quite big. It weighed over 50 kilograms and it was made of two huge carvolt batteries. And indeed, the founder of HeartSign, John Anderson, actually made the defibrillator for him. And the results they found from actually bringing that defibrillator out to the public actually changed how coronary care was delivered globally.
So out of the people that are dying from cardiac arrest here in Northern Ireland. Really, there are quite a few maybe that if you and I and somebody next door knew how to do CPR, or if there was a defibrillator, or if there was a combination of both, the chances of survival are enhanced hugely.
Yeah, and if we look at the chain of survival, which is a concept created by the Resuscitation Council, there's four links in it. The first link is recognising that there's something wrong and dialing 999. Second is CPR. The third link is defibrillation. And the fourth link is obviously when the ambulance and paramedics come and take over from you. So every single link in that chain is vital. And certainly what we can do as communities is we can recognise there's something wrong, we can learn CPR, and we can have defibrillators where they're easily accessible.
Now, is there a concern, and I raise this because I think in a case where you would think that you needed to carry out CPR, and yes, ideally there'd be a doctor or there'd be a nurse or there'd somebody have some training, but you know, if you're faced with somebody that has dropped to the floor and you're trying to find a pulse even, I just imagine that my heart would be beating that hard that I don't know whether I would be able to make the call that the pulse is there or it's not, or when is the right time to carry out CPR? Now, I don't know who's best charged to.
Well, I guess in the case of if you use an AED or a defibrillator, the most important thing to do is actually turn the device on, because what it will do is the first thing it will tell you is to call for medical assistance. So it ticks a box in that first chain of survival. And then it will actually tell you how to use the defibrillator and how to perform basic CPR. So it takes you through all those steps. And I think a key point to raise here is there's a lot of people that might be worried or reticent about using an AED.
I think that's maybe a big thing.
Yeah. And one of the things we have designed about them is to make them as user-friendly as possible, and that will intuitively guide anyone, irregardless of their training level, through the shock process and the CPR process as well.
Now, back to the CPR, and when I learned it many moons ago, it was Sussy Annie. Is Sussy Annie still there?
Resuscitation Annie is still there. I can't say alive and well because that wouldn't be quite appropriate, but yes, she's still around. And I think one of the important things just to go back on as well would be that whenever you are checking someone and going through the checks that you do, you actually don't check for a pulse anymore. So you wouldn't need to worry about that, because the evidence showed that there was a lot of time wasted. So the essence is get your hands on the chest as quickly as possible.
It really does mean that I need to go back for a refresher course. Stephanie, take us through, for anybody that's listening, can you take us through a brief outline of what you need to do if somebody goes into cardiac arrest? And the other thing is, what we're going to do, we're going to video this, not now, we're going to take you up out of the studio and we're going to video this, and we're going to put this up on the Downtown Radio Facebook page and the Cool FM Facebook, because if we can help save lives, that's what this is all about, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay. So if you come across someone who is collapsed, the first thing you do is check for danger and make sure that it's safe for you to approach them. Once you have approached them, you need to check, are they responding? So you give them a shake of the shoulders and you shout in each ear, hello, hello, can you hear me? Open your eyes. Something as simple as that. Once you've done that, if they're not responding, you don't want to be on your own, so you'll shout for help at that point. You then need to do a few checks. One, first of all, is you need to open the airway. It's called a head tilt chin lift. So you put your hand on the forehead, two fingers under the chin, and you lift the head back. And then you check for breathing for 10 seconds. Now, roughly in that 10 seconds, you should see about two normal breaths. If you don't, they're not breathing normally. And at this point, you either get someone else or you go and you phone for the ambulance. If someone else is around, you ask them to call and ask them to bring a defib if they know that there happens to be one in the vicinity. While they're doing that, you're going to go on the chest and you go in the centre of the chest. And hopefully you'll hear this clicking. And this is the chest compressions. And you do 30 of these. And we'll just say we've done 29, 30. Once you've done 30, then you're going to open up the airway and breathe twice in the mouth. If you're not happy to do mouth-to-mouth, you can just do chest compressions continually. You don't have to do 30 then stop. You can just do those continually.
And if there's somebody else, you can take it in turns. Who does the chest compressions and who does the...
I suppose ideally, rather than having two people do something, you would finish maybe 2 minutes and then get them to do a round to give you a complete rest, and then you would interchange that way.
Is there a little rhyme or something you can say in your head, or is there anything that can help you get...
Probably the most common things that we use in training is to sing Nelly the Elephant, or to use the Bee Gees song Staying Alive. And the reason why that song was chosen is because it gives you the beat that you should go to, so you're not going too fast or too slow.
Okay, you can hear the rhythm as mm-hmm. you think about that. I don't mm-hmm. know if I'd fancy breaking into Staying Alive or Nelly the Elephant, but
maybe just keep the song in your head.
Keep it in your head. But I know someone who's used that one. That's why I asked you, not the Nelly the Elephant one, but I couldn't think of it. But it was the Bee Gees one, and it was in their head, and they did get into a rhythm with it mm-hmm. because it can take quite a bit out of you as well, because you need to be quite firm about this.
It's very tiring. I think if this is someone that you know and love, there is an adrenaline rush there to try and do as much as you can for that person. And as soon as you can start CPR once the collapse has been witnessed, then the better for the person and better the outcome.
Peter, we've been talking this morning on the news about the breakthroughs in heart surgery here in Northern Ireland, but with yourselves at HeartSound, what are the next big things that you're working on?
Well, really what we are trying to do is make sure that we can put as many defibrillators into the community as possible. So it's making them smaller and faster and lighter, and indeed continually improving their ease of use so that they're not intimidating for anyone and that anyone can use them. And really, if you do are in the unfortunate position that you do have to do it, you shouldn't be afraid. As Stephanie said, the worst thing you can do is actually do nothing. So don't be worried to take the defibrillator off the wall, turn it on, and have that reassurance that it will guide you through every step of the resuscitation process.
Yes, and call 999. Folks, it's been great to have you in the studio. Stephanie, we're going to get a video of you up on the Downtown Radio Facebook page and on the Cool FM Facebook page. So Stephanie Leckie from the British Heart Foundation and Dr. Peter O'Hare from HeartSound Technologies, thanks ever so much for joining us.